Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Joseph G. with the great news of 12-Step Recovery and Rum Radio and rumradio.org, a member of the Sober Couch Recovery Network. Hi, everybody. I wanted to acknowledge some of our sponsors. One is recoverytoday.net magazine. It's on the web. And it's a free magazine. Also, they do hard copies for your groups if you want to do that way. They have some really good articles. Matter of fact, one of the really good articles I'm going to be posting, one of mine, Spiritus Contra Spiritum. It'll be in the January issue. Take a look. They have other good stuff other than mine, but I really like mine the best. And I'm going to encourage everyone to look at that one first. I also want to acknowledge WNAH out of Nashville, Tennessee. That's Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, who run that station. And they've allowed us an hour as a public relations program to help their audience and their customers in Nashville, parts of Tennessee and Kentucky. Welcome. Glad that you're with us and hope you get some good information from our broadcast. I also want to introduce my co-host for tonight, Harold B., Harold has long-time recovery and works with families in the area, troubled families in the area, which has to be a very trying situation. I believe that the family is the basic unit of our society, and as the family goes, so goes the nation. So thank you, Harold, for all the work you do. Harold?
My pleasure. Thank you for the nice introduction, and it's my honor to give back and help families. I've been helped by this program, and I really treasure each opportunity to give back, as I know Joseph does also. I want to take a moment to acknowledge Joseph for his giving. This program and his website, rumradio.org, are dedicated to the number one activity that helps people stay sober, and that's working with others. And it's all about how to work with others and how not to work with others, and I've gotten a lot from it, and I hope you will too. He doesn't earn one penny from the site. In fact, it costs him money, and it's been viewed by people in over 113 countries. Really something to think about. People all over the world improving their conscious contact with God, using the steps and the books and the rooms and now websites. So thank you, Joseph, for your work. Joseph?
You're quite welcome. And it's 1,400, a little over 1,400 towns and cities, which is really quite impressive. About 76,000 hits so far to the website. And it's growing. It has legs now. It's starting to move on its own. It's moving without compulsory means. In other words, it's just really by word of mouth it's moving right now. It's being moved on a spiritual concept. Wanted to tell you, I'm going to repeat what I told you earlier in the show. I was at a meeting last night, Spring Branch in Houston, and it's a speaker meeting. And the lady who spoke gave a really good talk. Some speaker meetings are just exceptional, and this was one of them. She mentioned about her trying to get into the Betty Ford Clinic early on in her sobriety, and they wouldn't take her in because they had certain parameters and criteria to get in there, because it's a higher end rehab. There's certain deals that have to be met before they let you in there, and she wasn't able to get in. But something I remember, I make an announcement once in a while when I'm in a group like that to promote Rum Radio. I do it, you know, like people say, "What do you bother?" I tell them it's like lighting a candle? Do you put it under a bushel, or do you put it on a candlestick where everybody in the room can get some light out of it? And that's the way I look at trying to make an announcement for this locally. So I told him, I said, I love Betty Ford. She would get drunk and Jerry would fall down. And I want to introduce the rumradio.org big book sponsorship website. I believe that the big book and the 12 and 12 is sufficient to our understandings for our need as alcoholics and addicts, and that we're in the 1,300 and plus countries all over the world, including Mississippi, 1,400 towns and cities, 76,000 hits to the website and building. And also, if you find value, please pass it on. And if you don't find value, I suggest an appointment with your proctologist in order to help him get a wider point of view. Harold?
Yes. I've had a visit to my proctologist, and very interesting conversation. We'll save that for
another time.
You know, I've go through the steps. We're on step 6 tonight, and I'll save that for step 13.
All right. You know, Steph, you know, Dr. Bob was a proctologist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Dr. Bob was a... Yes. No, for sure. He was a proctologist.
Well, that explains
the phrase I make has more than two edges on that sword. All right, we're going to do step 6 tonight. Step 6, we're entirely ready. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Entirely ready. That's the sticking point. Whoa, Buckwheat, not so fast. Now, you got to remember where we're coming from. We just did 4 and 5. We need to review our work to date. This is the end of step 5. This I call this 5B. This is when the sponsee goes home after an intensive step 5. This is where you've invited, your sponsee invites God and his sponsor into the process. And the other human being is being the sponsor. Not always, but most of the time it's the sponsor. That's the previous show on how to find someone. Who do you do the fifth step with? It depends. But we're inviting God and another human being into the mix. So we need to review our work to date. The AA Big Book puts it this way. Taking the book down, that's the big book, down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps, carefully reading the first 5 proposals. We've done the first 5. We ask if we omitted anything, for we are building an archway which shall we shall walk a free man or woman at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If this is agreed, if your sponsor has taken that hour, has done that assignment, I've gotten sponsees with responses like, I feel like an empty shell. I feel like a new man. I feel a great weight has been lifted off of me. Some really good responses. I feel new. I feel clean. So it's really magical, that hour, when they call after that hour and they've done the work and they've invited God in prayer and meditation in the last hour. If agreed, the flag drops and we're off to the races. The reading in the big book is page 76 in the big book. There's not a lot on 6 and 7 in the big book. I think you could cover it with one hand, both steps. A lot of the 6 and 7 comes from understanding of practical knowledge from the 12 and 12, and step 6 in the 12 and 12 is pages 63 to 69. These are the questions that I have my sponsees answer. What are the defects of character that you identified in your fourth step inventory that need to be removed? What is meant by defects of character? So we need to close that in. What are the defects of character that you identified in your four-step inventory that need to be removed? 3, how have these problems caused you problems in the past? And what problems are they causing you today? Lots of problems. Are you willing to give up the defects of character that give you pleasure or provide some other kind of reward? 5, if you could have these defects of character removed right now, would you? And if not, why? What do you get out of keeping these defects of character? 7, what does it mean to be entirely ready? If you're not entirely ready, how ready are you? Are you willing to ask for God's help in this step, recognizing that you cannot remove your defects of character by self-will alone? Do you believe that the removal of your character defects is part of your restoration to sanity? And 11, if you're not willing to have these defects removed, how can you become willing? Harold?
I really, really like these questions. I'm embarrassed to talk about this because it took me a lot of time to get back around to actually studying the steps as they're presented in the book. And at one point, I remember reading that they worked on step 4 and then moved into step 5 and did 5, 6, and 7 in the same evening, right there, right together. And so, but I had a fairly good sponsor, and he understood that doing a proper step 4 and 5 would yield a list of about a half a dozen qualities, defects of character. And so that is the answer to some of your questions here on the list. I really like this list. I didn't have this list at the time. I too felt really like a new man when I finished giving my fifth step. And when I finish hearing a fifth step now, my sponsees often say exactly the same thing. They feel like a huge weight has been removed. And then I puzzled for many years over, why is step 6 in there? I mean, who in his right mind wouldn't automatically be entirely ready? And one day it dawned on me, I am not entirely ready to give up a defect of character if I'm still using it. My qualities that I wanted to give up included confusion, which is a defense mechanism, by the way, and it included self-pity. And so, for example, I wasn't completely finished using self-pity. I would have an occasional pity party, and if I'm using that defect, I'm not ready to give it up. It's really, as it turns out, it's quite simple. So this step really is useful. I am called upon to stop using the defect, and then and only then can we move forward on some of this stuff. And some of these defects can be deadly. So I'm glad we're talking about this step, step 6. It's often called the forgotten step, and I can understand why from my past, but I'm glad we're working on it, because when it comes to one of my defects, which was harboring resentments, I mean, resentments lead to relapse. Relapse can kill you. So this is a life and death struggle. Very important to work on these. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. The one assignment I give a sponsee is to pray for the willingness to take this step. And this comes in several of the steps. Willingness, I tell them, is like the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest seed in the garden. And if it's planted in the heart, and it's a good seed, it will grow. And AA is a good seed. So sometimes the step is about willingness and then execution. Once that seed germinates on a spiritual basis, it gives you the wherewithal, the energy, the enthusiasm to take the next action. I need to get a handle on this six-shooter. According to the AA 12 and 12, this is the step that separates the men from the boys, lest we forget the women from the girls, the sheep from the goat, and the foxes from the hounds. Rough and ready, we have identified our defects in step 4. We have admitted them to God and to another human being in step 5. At first blush, step 6 looks like a walk in MacArthur Park after the gauntlet in the 2 preceding steps. Not so, mon ami. My friend, a great deal is required, both emotionally and spiritually. Do you want to be a quick change artist or a slow change journeyman? We are entirely willing to have God remove our defects of character. Are we willing to change and be changed? Are you willing to change the lifelong and familiar behaviors that we believe make up who we see ourselves to be? There was a character, a King of the Hill. You remember that cartoon, Harold?
Yeah.
King of the Hill? And one of his niece was Luann Hill, remember? And I put this on the website, and something she said really struck with me. I can stop pretending to be this someone else and go back to be pretending to be me. Thank you. The AA Big Book puts it this way. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can God now take them all, every one? If you're not willing, we are again insisting on our own self-destructive self-will. We fall back into the ditch of despair, chanting all the way down, I did it my way. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Problems, I have no stinking problems. The problems is I have no stinking solution. Or how I have learned to love my defects of character, such as self-righteous anger and feeling superior towards others. At the very least, we shall have come to grips with some of our worst character defects and take action towards their removal as quickly as we can. Suggest the AA 12 and 12, delay is dangerous and rebellion may be fatal. This is the exact point at which we abandon limited objectives and move towards God's will for us. Harold?
Yes, that's it's so important. There's a very subtle difference between on the spiritual path, there are many people who feel that being good and doing good can earn our salvation, but it's actually, they've got it in reverse. We are saved, and then the outpicturing of that is that we do good and our behavior changes. And for a long time I had it backwards, but and in regard to working the steps, these things fall away as we work the steps. And as I work the steps, I become less selfish. As I become less selfish, then what I really want to do is be more useful to God. And that's part of step 11, where I am now, praying only for 2 things, knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. I want to be more useful to God, and that's the end result. Step 6 is very important to my spiritual growth. As I really get this, I give up using these defects. Only then can God remove them. If I keep taking them back, God can't remove them. We can. It's kind of a spiritual paradox. We can mess it up. Only God can really solve it. Joseph?
Yeah, hi, Harold. I don't believe in spiritual paradoxes. I believe everything's supposed to come to the forefront. Everything shall be revealed. A little different on my take on it. It's I believe we're saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Scriptures tell us that we first have to take a step towards God, and then he takes a step towards us. We have to do something. We just can't sit there and do nothing and expect everything to happen. We have to be proactive in our spiritual life, in our temporal life. Otherwise, you know what? Nothing happens when nothing happens. But that's my take on it. The other point I wanted to make before, I think it's in here on the post, but a lot of people have the sticking point on step six is the word entirely ready. And a lot of people go back and forth on that. Actually, it's really explained well in the 12 and 12. I was up at Crested Butte one time, and they had this, and this fella just came right out of the big book, and they danced around it, and then an Al-Anon came in, and he doesn't use the 12 and 12, and so I was the first one to share, and they got a little annoyed at me because I used the 12 and 12, and it's the correct answer. And the thing is, in essence, no one is ever entirely ready. Except for step one, all the steps are ideals. They're marks of attainment. This is a journey. So step six and step three are one of the steps that we do on a regular basis. We can only be as ready as we are at any given time. Step three is we give it up and we take it back. We give it up and we take it back in this endless cycle. Hopefully we're always progressing to some degree, but it's always back and forth. That's just the nature of the beast. Otherwise, there would be no need to repent if everybody progresses at such a steady rate and comes to an agreement of perfection. That's not going to happen on this plane. So we become ready, and then we're not as ready. But we can only be as ready as we are at any given time. Harold?
Yes, I really value that, and I agree completely. We, who was it, the centurion that said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. They both occur simultaneously. So what I really value is progress, not perfection. And indeed, we make progress, and you mentioned the word repent, and that's what these steps are about. It's really exciting. I get more excited all the time. And I've been around 23 years. Joseph?
Yeah, thanks, Harold. Some people don't put it in that vein, and that's okay, because they shy away from the religious. But the big book says, not only does it say, see where religious people are right, and someone else. So it's not, people miss some of those little nuances, what Bill and the first 100 were getting to, was saying, hey, we don't know it all. This isn't a final answer to all our problems. This is a good start. More shall be revealed. See where other people, see what works for other people. Let's listen to them. Let's keep open-minded. Let's not close the door on any possibility. Bill scoured the planet and used all kinds, sometimes even weird things that he thought might help the alcoholic attain and maintain sobriety. So he was open-minded. Okay, let's give it a shot. Let's see, maybe this will work. I agree 100%. Let's look. At least we can make a decision once that information is presented, not before. All opinions are about feelings, not intellect. Okay,
I really enjoyed the gentle way that the big book encourages us to ask questions and look into people we know that have religion. And what really got me years ago was the statement that millions of people have been helped. Why don't you just go in and see what that's all about? So I did, and it was about 15 years ago, and I've really been blessed ever since, just trying to look at it and understand the millions and millions and millions of people that have been helped over hundreds and hundreds of years. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. At the very least, we shall have come to grips with some of our worst character defects and take action towards their removal as quickly as we can. Suggest the AA 12 and 12, delay is dangerous and rebellion may be fatal. This is the exact point at which we abandon limited objections and move towards God's will for us. I repeated that. Our character defects are like a sharp stick in the eye, blurry and painful. Even more important, it can easily lead us back to our addiction and their nightmarish consequences. The AA 12 and 12 describes our character defects as flaws which must be dealt with to prevent a retreat into alcoholism. For some, flaws, like in a diamond. For others, crevasses, like in a glacier. This is urgent care, triage for the mind and the spirit. You say it's urgent. So urgent. Oh, so urgent. The phase entirely ready seems to smack of perfection. Who among us is entirely ready to have our defects of character removed? If we are not entirely ready, have we really, truly taken the step? The 12 and 12 offers this interpretation. The key words, entirely ready, underline the fact that we want to aim at the very best we know or can learn. How many of us have this degree of readiness? In absolute sense, practically nobody has it. The best we can do, with all honesty, that we can summon is to try to have it. Even then, the best of us will discover, to our dismay, that there's always a sticking point, a point which we say, no, I can't give this up yet. The 12 and 12 assures us only step one has to be made with 100% admission. We're powerless over alcohol can be practiced with absolute perfection. The remaining 11 steps are perfect ideals. They are goals to which we look and the measuring sticks by which we estimate our progress. Seen in this light, step six is still difficult, but not all impossible. The only urgent thing is that we make a beginning and keep trying. Do we not come from where we stand? We put our shoulder to the wheel, and God helps us push it along. Harold?
That's it. What's asked of us is willingness, and all the power and everything else comes from God. If we will just put our shoulders to the wheel, God will help us push it along. It's God's power. We are responsible for the effort, for planting the seed. The end result is up to God. But even on step six, even that willingness to plant the seed is where I, for a long time, fell down. And it took a long time and a lot of insight and working with a sponsor and working with sponsees. Actually, in many cases, I learned more working with a sponsee than I did with my sponsor. But then I like that, to make a beginning and keep trying, doing the next right thing, and giving this a chance. That's all I had to do is give it a chance. It proves itself when I do that. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I think someone has misplaced the six-step finish line. Step six is never completed. Wow. We cannot achieve perfect willingness to have God remove our defects of character. We become more and more willing as we grow spiritually. We cannot rest on laurels. This is a lifelong process. One of the posts I have, what is it? Restless laurelitis. Some days we are more willing to have our defects removed, and some days we go back into default mode with the endless cry of, it's me and it's mine. we can be willing to be willing. Willingness is like a mustard seed. If it's a good seed planted in the heart, it will grow. And AA is a good seed. We work step six the very best we can with prayer and acceptance that as long as we stay willing, God will remove our defects of character. The how and the when of it, we leave up to a loving God. The 12 and 12 says the difference between the boys and the men and the girls and the woman is the difference between striving for a self-determined objective and the perfect objective, which is one of God. Our character defects cause us pain and suffering no matter how much we love them and identify with them. The more of them and their manifestations we can be rid of, the happier we will be. Harold?
Yes, years ago I studied and enrolled in stress management courses, trying to reduce the stress, trying to become more able, more successful in the business world, and the medical doctors will be very quick to explain all the damage that stress does. And the difficulty there was the fact that myself and other classmates found that I identified with my stress, and somehow I felt as though if I give up that stress, I'm giving up myself. I'm giving up something essential to me, which was not true, but I felt that way for a long time. And just last month, I was talking with a relatively young man. He was in his late 20s, and he said, well, this is who I am. I can't help it. This is who I am. This is the way I am. You got to accept me the way I am. And it just had such a ring of ridiculousness. Here he is in his late 20s saying, well, this is who I am. This is what I am. I can't change this. And of course, I'm sure he will see that. He will see that he can change. And I think what has to happen first is that he has to see the damage that he's doing to himself by hanging on to certain things. I mean, we do need some level of stress and tension. It's like a guitar. It can't be completely free of all stress. The notes, the strings wouldn't make the proper notes. But it's a matter of having a balance, releasing excess. So what is us? What is excess? These are all questions that I required help to really deal with this. Help from a sponsor, and also praying to God, asking God to sort it all out for me. That's what really worked. That step six, working on that, and praying anytime I felt a craving, praying to God to lift that craving, those things were essential for me. Only God could do those, and only when I was willing. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. 2 points. One is that, or maybe three, the 12-step process is the repentance process. People shun when they hear the repentance process. It's just another term. It means that we're willing systematically to change and be changed by God, to put away old negative behaviors for new positive ones, which is a be of service and love. So if you look at it that way, the repentance process is spiritually universal. We don't have the lock on it. This is given from a loving God on the level of a spiritual kindergarten. So this way, the children that he loves and might even love the most, I liked what Jesus had to say, what need the healthy for a physician? I tell the folks in my church, well, I have to go, I'm going to AA. What needs a healthy for a physician? You guys are already, you know, you believe you got one foot in heaven. I'm going to go where the real folks are, you know. Where would Jesus be? He'd be in the rooms. That's his people. He was with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the lepers. And if that doesn't describe an AA room, I don't know what would. The other point was is that you mentioned, are you familiar with Buddha's moment of enlightenment?
Well, I'm familiar with the Eightfold Path of Buddha.
Okay.
And his Four Noble Truths.
His moment of enlightenment. He was under a banyan tree meditating, and that's what he did most of the time. And he's in front of a river, which is, a river is really quite interesting, the river of life. There's a river that's legendary to be in front of the throne of God. This river represents the movement of life. You ever notice that? A river.
Yes.
By Old Man River. Yeah, there's a, in front of the gates of hell, there's a river. On the gate, it's read, all who enter abandon hope. You know, so this, that river has a metaphysical and a spiritual context, and he's in front of this a river, just a river, nothing any particular special river, and he's meditating, and a boat comes passing by, and in the boat there's a musician, and he's tightening up a stringed instrument, and he's watching the string instrument, and that was his moment of enlightenment. And the moment of enlightenment with the string instrument was if the musician tightened the string too much, the string would break. What would we call that? Stress. And if he didn't tighten it enough, it would thud and not make music. So he realized that life was about the middle way. Not too tight and not too loose. And in the Christian ethic, it's called moderation in all things. Not excessive one way or the other, but the middle way. I think that's where you were going before with the string instrument and the tension. Oh, let me get back. The Worldwide Wrestling Federation legend Hulk Hogan. Hulk pales compared to the wrestling response he does with willingness and the fear of what it would be like to lose their character defects. Remember, entirely willing is an ideal, and the step can be considered taken when they have achieved a practical willingness that will enable them to move forward on to step 7. If they remain unwilling, suggest that they pray with sincerity of heart and conviction of spirit. Trust in the process and leave the rest to God. Since no one is ever entirely ready, how do you know the step has been taken? I use 6 criteria to gauge its completion for the purpose of going on to step 7. The other point, there's another point I think that's important to remember on a practical vein. Today, matter of fact, I had a little incident over my granddaughter with my former I had a daughter that passed away. They divorced, and he's my former stepson, I guess, or the father of my granddaughter, to put it in that perspective. Anyway, and, you know, and I bought her something, and I purchased something for Christmas, and he got really upset with me that I didn't check with him prior to that. I was going to get her video games, and she wanted the gaming mechanism. And I'm not really all that hip on the living in the two-dimensional reality, but it's quite the phenomenon nowadays. So I bought her that deal because I don't have a lot of people to buy for, and so I spent an extra couple bucks to get her what she wanted. I brought it back, and she's real excited and all that, and he looked at me and handed it back to me, and he said, you were just supposed to get her the cartridges or the gaming, not any mechanism, and you're not respecting my wishes, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, and blah, blah, blah. So so when I texted him back, I used confusion. I'm kind of confused about all this stuff. You know, Harold, there was really a little bit of confusion with that. I really didn't get the grasp of it, but you know, maybe that was the case or not. But that was that could be, and I didn't realize that could be a character defect. I've never really used it before, but it worked well, you know, because I'm getting older now. And I go, ah, confusion. Hey, where am I? Isn't this the bus terminal?
I call that the Columbo, the Columbo approach.
Yeah. Where am I? What's going on here? Hey, I'm in the wrong town. The point I'm trying to make is sometimes we identify with our character defects because some of these character defects that we use were survival techniques.
Oh, yeah.
And if we give up our survival techniques, that's pretty scary. Lying is a survival technique. Confusion, like you said, is a survival technique. There's, you know, what other survival techniques would there be? Unavailability, coming in early, coming in late, or whatever we did to manipulate the situation so we wouldn't have to be accountable, or we could get out without being scathed in any particular situation. We're asked to give those up now. We're asked to put down the shield of some of the shields of our character defects. And
yes.
Sometimes maybe
for example,
all we would
stealing time. That was something I did a lot. And also keeping people in the dark seemed to be a survival mechanism that I thought I needed to rely on. That's the problem. When we replace those things and we no longer need to rely on them, then we can let them go. I never recommend anyone let go of something they're still needing as a survival technique. That's not fair. But as we replace those with other skills, then we can let go. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. As those, actually we're asked to try to give away most as much as we can at any given time. I think there's a lot of it that we have as, you remember that movie, The Matrix? And there was a scene
yeah.
in there where the first time he goes into their computer program and he had no hair in real life, he had no hair. But when he went into their computer program, he had his hair and he looked all different. He said, that's your residual self-image. And I think our character defects employ our residual self-image. If we take away our character defects, we have the fear of losing our residual self-image. Who would we be with these things taken away? So we have survival technique, we have identity. You're going to take my identity away. How scary is this stuff? It gets pretty scary. This is why it says step 6 separates the men from the boys. See, most folks don't go into that deep to see, oh, I see. Okay, now this is, since no one is ever entirely ready, how do you know the step has been taken? These are the criteria, 6 to 6 gauges. Name the character defects that need to be removed and know which seem to be the most difficult for them. So they've done that. You know, we've listed them down. We usually use the 7 deadly sins as part of the character defects. There's more, you know, the more you sponsor. You know how you get to be a good sponsor, Harold?
Say it.
You have to sponsor. You're going to make mistakes when you first get into the, it's just going to happen. You're going to overreact or underreact or you're not quite sure. That was one of the reasons I put the Rum Radio together, to give you some insights. I had one sponsor, he said he uses it all the time. Not verbatim. That's not, you know, you could use it that way. But he does that to give an extra spin sometime, a little bit more understanding, some tools. That's what Rum Radio is. It's a toolbox. You take the tools you need and you leave the rest. The more tools you're used to using, the more tools you'll find. You know, it's like a craftsman, one of the big craftsman toolboxes. You know, at first you're only going to use some of the tools, but as you get better and better, you're going to find more and more tools because everybody's a little different. Everybody has a little different nuts and bolts that they need to be tightened or loosened, you know, like, and here's some tools to do that. They have achieved a degree of willingness that has opened them up to being changed, a degree of willingness. They are willing to pray daily for the willingness to have their defects of character removed. It's willing to be willing. They recognize that they must do the legwork in removing their character defects. The ultimate removal is but for the grace of God. We are saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. So we get them into action. Do something. They are willing to have God remove the defects in whatever way God sees fit to remove them, and whatever timetable and manner that God seems appropriate. In the same sense, they've turned their will and their lives over to the care of God. They have reaffirmed the third step. Harold? Oh, let me do six. Let me do six first. Six,
oh,
they
further.
Recognize that the removal... Yeah, let me just finish the sixth one. They recognize the removal of their character defects as part of their restoration to sanity. They have reaffirmed the second step. Now, Harold.
All right. Well, I really, one of my favorite words in the whole book is the word restore. And that acknowledges our innocence, and we can regain that. We can, it's all about being more useful to God. I keep returning to that, but that's really where I see my purpose, the meaning in life, and by pursuing meaning and purpose, then I find that's when happiness follows. In the past, I've tried to strive just for happiness. It seems like that becomes just a search for entertainment. But if I look for meaning and purpose, happiness automatically follows. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. What I've discovered is that happiness is transitory. Happiness is a reaction to the immediate environment. So it, something makes you happy. You get a new car, that makes you happy. You get a better paying job, that makes you happy. You get your Christmas present, that makes you happy, right? Well, you just got fired, and now I'm unhappy. I didn't get my Christmas present that I wanted. Now I'm unhappy. So any of these things in the... Pardon me?
The car gets a dent, and we're unhappy.
We're unhappy. So whatever's going on in the immediate environment is like being like fate swinging us by the tail, like a cat being swung by the tail. We're happy, we're unhappy. We're happy, we're unhappy. It's whatever's going on in the immediate. Now, the difference of joy is a state of being. The first admonition, from my understanding, from God was to our original parents, fill the measure of your creation and find joy therein. He didn't say be miserable. He wants us to be joyful. How do we find joy? If we're happy and we're unhappy according to the immediate environment, how are we going to find joy? What is joy? I like Cahil Gibran. I think he says that sorrow carves out the place where joy can fill at a later date. Joy is the acceptance of what is, and knowing that in all things work for good. It's about acceptance. without expectation. You know, this is the Christmas season right now. We're talking, it's December, what, 17? What are we at, 17?
Yes.
And the Christmas, this is the, we talk a lot about the holidays in the rooms of recovery right now. The holidays, for a lot of people, for me, is a season of unfulfilled expectations. We have a certain idea what should transpire because of who we are. We should get, we should be, I me. And when those things do not come to fruition, there's a sense of loss. Your expectation will be in direct proportion to the amount of your serenity. Without an expectation, you can have serenity. And serenity is a first cousin to joy. No great highs, no great lows. Hey, that was really good. Remember that story? We shall see. You think that's worth a second look, Harold? Got a little time.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very important time for us to talk about expectations, and we can adjust our expectations by adjusting our thinking, and that's really what step six is all about, adjusting our thinking. Why don't you tell that story about We Will See?
This is one of the... it's one of the posts on the rumradio.org. It's the last one. The next story, this will go into the archives. So this next time I write a post. All right. Who knows? We shall see. One day in the late summer, an old farmer was working in his field with his old sick horse. The farmer felt compassion for the horse and desired to lift its burden. So he left his horse loose to go to the mountains and live out the rest of his life. You know, this is very spiritual. If you read the scriptures, and I've just been recently, it talks about God puts a spirit into animals. So they're kind of special. You know, there's a special use for animals, too. They have a certain reverence about them as a part of God's creation. Soon after, neighbors from the nearby village visited, offering their condolences, and said, "What a shame. Now your only horse is gone. How unfortunate you are. You must be very sad. How will you live, work, the land, and prosper?" The farmer replied, "Who knows? We shall see." 2 days later, the old horse came back, now rejuvenated after meandering in the mountainside while eating the wild grasses. He came back with 12 new, younger, and healthy horses, which followed the old horse into the corral. Oh, he was 12 horses. You know, 12 is the number of the ultimate authority. Just thought, throw that in. Word got out in the village of the old farmer's good fortune. It wasn't long before people stopped by to congratulate the farmer, probably trying to figure out if they can get one of the horses, on his good luck. "How fortunate you are," they explained. "You must be very happy." And again, the farmer softly said, "Who knows? We shall see." At daybreak on the next morning, the farmer's only son set off to attempt to train the new wild horses, but the farmer's son was thrown to the ground and broke his leg. One by one, the villagers arrived during the day to moan the farmer's latest misfortune. I guess, you know, I guess these villagers didn't have internet or cable television. They were waiting to see what the farmer was up to so they could go do something. It was like,
yeah, no Twitter at all. Twitter.
Nothing. Let's go see what the farmer's up to today for entertainment. "Oh, what a tragedy. Your son won't be able to help you farm with a broken leg. You'll have to do all the work yourself. How will you survive?" "You must be very sad," they said calmly, going about his usual business. The farmer answered, "Who knows? We shall see." Several days later, a war broke out. The emperor's men arrived in the village, demanding that young men come with them to be conscripted into the emperor's army. As it happened, the farmer's son was deemed unfit because of his broken leg. "What very good fortune you have," the villagers explained. as this your young son was marched away. You must be very happy. Who knows, we shall see, replied the old farmer, to be headed off to work in his field alone. As time went on, the broken leg healed, but the son was left with a slight limp. Again, the neighbors came to pay their condolences. Oh, what bad luck. Too bad for you. But the old farmer simply replied, who knows? We shall see. As it turned out, the other young village boys had died in the war. Now, that's the ultimate decline in the war. And the old farmer and his son were the only able-bodied men capable of working the village lands. The old farmer became wealthy and was very generous to the villagers. I think he gave them TVs and internet so they wouldn't have to bother him every day. They said, how fortunate we are now that we have TV. No, you must be very happy. To which the old farmer replied, who knows, we shall see. So there's that answer, and I'd like to finish this up with something from Language from the Heart. This is Bill W.'s writings to the Grapevine, which is our meetings in print. We call it the Grapevine because that's how word gets around the program, through the Grapevine. Now, you could say that you always were honest and your word was clear from the start. But it's more than just words that got spoken. There was language from the heart. Yes, the history of uncontrolled drinking shows that fear alone has chastened but few alcoholics. Much more than fear is needed to bring us anarchists into line, to bind us anarchists. Several years ago, Speaking in Baltimore, I ran out on a great rant about the terrible suffering we alcoholics had endured. My talk must have had a strong flavor of self-pity and exhibitionism. I kept referring to our drinking experience as a great calamity, a terrible misfortune. After the meeting, I was approached by a Catholic clergyman who genuinely remarked, I heard you say you thought that you were drinking a great misfortune, but it seems to me that in your case, that it was a great good fortune. Was this not the terrible experience, the very thing that humbled you so completely that you were able to find God? Did not suffering open your eyes and your heart? All the opportunity you have today, all this wonderful experience you call AA, once had its beginnings in deep personal suffering. In your case, this was actually no misfortune. It was your great good fortune. You AAs are privileged people. Bill W. Harold?
That's the way I've seen it for a long time, is that I'm really actually grateful for having the gene for addiction and having gone through what I've gone through. I especially give thanks for all the people around who didn't make it and who passed away, because that really sent the strongest message of all, that if I have any willingness at all, their sacrifice can really be energy that I can build a new life on. So I'm grateful for the solution, and I'm grateful that I somehow found these rooms. I really am grateful. Each meeting, as you've said many times, each meeting is a gratitude meeting, including this one. I'm grateful. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. To get back to step six, after my sponsee has answered each of these questions in the affirmative, I suggest that we close our meeting with a prayer. I pray for my sponsee's willingness to have his defects of character moved at least I forget, for the willingness to have my own defects removed. I'm just a sinner. But I'll tell the people in my church, you know, you can't have saints without sinners. And the bigger the sinner, the grander the saint. With that understanding that the sixth step is never completed, I consider that my sponsee has taken the step. So I guess we're just about out of time, and it looks like we're just running out the clock. The last minute looks like I did for an hour and a half.
Minute.
I think we're done. Yeah, I got a minute. So, Well, thank you so much for everyone who came on. We're going to be posting this to the website. These will be permanent posts to go along with the step, so you can be reading the step, and then you can download these into an MP3 player if you so desire. So thank you for WNEH for their continued support in getting the word out. And thank you, Harold, for the work that you do. And, you know,
you're welcome.
Like usual, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org.